courtesy of VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Dan Novak and Brian Lynn. Dan has a story about the upcoming cold weather in Kyiv, Ukraine. The mayor is warning residents to prepare for bad conditions this winter if Russia continues strikes against energy production centers. After that, Brian tells us about a fishing plan in Brazil to help save the population of a well-known fish that lives in rivers and lakes. Later on, be sure to keep listening for this week's Higher Education Report from Andrew Smith and Faith Perlow. At the end of the story, we will be joined by Andrew for some more information about community colleges in the U.S. And finally, if you like animals, you will want to hear this week's words and their stories from Anna Mateo. She tells us about a saying that has to do with monkeys. And now, here's Dan Novak.
The mayor of Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, is warning residents that they must prepare for bad conditions this winter. He said if Russia keeps striking the country's energy infrastructure, it could mean having no electricity, water, or heat. "We are doing everything to avoid this," Mayor Vitali Klitschko said. He added, "Our enemies are doing everything for the city to be without heat, without electricity, without water supply, in general, so we all die." Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his nightly video speech to the nation Sunday that about 4.5 million people were without electricity. Russia has attacked Ukraine's energy centers over the last month, causing power outages and rolling blackouts across the country. A rolling blackout is when energy officials turn off power to save electricity. Kyiv was having hourly rolling blackouts Sunday in parts of the city and the surrounding area. Kyiv is preparing about 1,000 heating points, but it is unclear if that will be enough for a city of 3 million people. As Russia increases its attacks on the capital, Ukrainian forces are pushing forward in the south. Residents of the Russian-occupied city of Kherson received warning messages on their phones, urging them to leave as soon as possible, Ukraine's military said Sunday. Russian soldiers warned civilians that Ukraine's army was preparing for a large attack. Russian forces are preparing for a Ukrainian offensive to regain the southern city of Kherson. In September, Russia illegally annexed Kherson and three other regions. Russian forces are also strengthening positions in other areas in the east. These actions make conditions for residents and the Ukrainian army difficult. Russia's attacks have almost completely destroyed power plants that serve the city of Bakhmut and the nearby town of Soledar, said Pavlo Kirilenko. He is the area's Ukrainian governor. He said attacks late Saturday killed one civilian and wounded three. Between Saturday and Sunday, Russia launched four missiles and 19 airstrikes, hitting more than 35 villages in nine regions. The strikes took place from Cherniv and Kharkiv in the northeast to Kherson and Mykolaiv in the south, Zelensky's office said. The strikes killed 2 people and wounded 6. In Bakhmut, 15,000 remaining residents were facing attacks every day without water or power, local media reported. The city has been under attack for months. But fighting worsened after Russian forces experienced losses during Ukrainian offensives in the Kharkiv and Kherson regions. The front line is now near Bakhmut. Mercenaries from the Wagner Group, a Russian military company, are reported to be leading the fight. Yevgeny Prigozhin is the founder of the group. In a statement Sunday, he announced the funding and creation of militia training centers in Russia's southwest. He said locals were best placed to fight against sabotage on Russian land. The group also said it is opening a military technology center in St. Petersburg. In southern Ukraine, the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant was reconnected to Ukraine's power system, local media reported Sunday. Europe's largest nuclear center needs electricity to maintain its cooling systems, but it had been running on emergency power supplies since Russian attacks destroyed its outside connections. I'm Dan Novak.
A controlled fishing system in Brazil's Amazon River area is helping to save an endangered fish. The fish is the pirarucu. It is also known in Brazil as arapaima. The pirarucu is believed to be the largest of 2,300 different kinds of fish known to live in the Amazon basin. It can grow to be 3 meters long and weigh up to 200 kilograms. The fish mostly live in lakes across large areas of the Brazilian Amazon. They are carnivores, meaning they feed on other fish. The pirarucu is considered endangered because of overfishing. Illegal fishing activities left many communities struggling to find the fish, which traditionally is an important food. In recent years, however, illegal fishing of the pirarucu has been sharply reduced, and the fish has increasingly been recovering. The Associated Press reports the improvements came after efforts that included close cooperation between communities and complex logistics. One of the unusual things about pirarucu is that they need to breathe air to survive. The fish need to take at least one breath every 20 minutes. They rise to the surface to do so. This behavior by the fish makes it easier to count how many pirarucu are active in an area. A count of the fish is now carried out once a year by fishermen trained to use the method. By law, only 30% of pirarucu in a certain area can be fished the following year. Pirarucu fishing is now done once a year, around September, the period when water levels are lowest. Efforts have led to increases in the pirarucu population in areas where it is used. In the São Raimundo area, there were 1,335 pirarucus in nearby lakes in 2011, when controlled fishing began. Last year, records showed there were 4,092. In the Carawari area, the number of pirarucu rose from 4,916 to 46,839 between 2011 and 2021. Manuel Cunha leads a group of workers involved in the rubber trade in São Raimundo. He told the AP the controlled fishing efforts have greatly reduced illegal catch operations in the area. "You have been on this river for days now, and you have not seen any fishing boats except the ones from our organizations," Cunha said. "There is no more room for them here." A sister of Cunha, Rosilda, said the pirarucu bring money into the community. "Our pirarucu is so tasty, everybody that eats it falls in love with it and wants more," she said. In the Amazon, the fish is generally salted, sun-dried, and sold in local markets. It is also exported to the United States and Mexico. Processing of the fish is completed by members of the Association of Rural Producers of Carawari, known as ASPROC. It is an organization created by local rubber workers who wanted to free themselves from slave-like working conditions. The organization permits community members to share in the profits of harvesting the fish. ASPROC currently runs other programs on everything from waste control to community markets to higher education. The organization sells pirarucu to Brazil's main cities, including São Paulo and Brasília. This is a complex process that involves several days of transportation by boat and road, taking up to 2 weeks. ASPROC has formed partnerships with two American government agencies, the U.S. Forest Service and the Agency for International Development, USAID. Both have supported the area's controlled fishing and processing operations. "This project is unique as it requires a strong governance structure," said Ted Gurr, USAID's mission director in Brazil. "Everybody is in agreement that they may have to sacrifice and not be able to fish all of the pirarucu that are available, but knowing that they'll reproduce more and that in the long run they will be more valuable," Gurr added. I'm Brian Lynn.
When international students think of college in the United States, they may think of top universities like Harvard, Stanford, and Yale. Or they may have heard of large state schools, such as the University of Michigan. But there are many smaller schools called community colleges where students can start their education. Community colleges offer two-year degrees, called associate degrees. In addition to traditional educational subjects, they also provide education in areas such as nursing, automotive technology, plumbing, information technology, and electrical repair.
The American Association of Community Colleges, or AACC, says that in 2022, more than 10 million students are taking classes at 1,043 community colleges across the U.S. Many American students choose community colleges because they cost much less than four-year universities. Last year, average yearly tuition and other costs were $3,800 at community colleges, compared to $10,740 at four-year state universities. As for private four-year colleges, tuition cost about $35,000 on average, and it goes up to $76,000 for an Ivy League school. Many four-year degree programs require students to complete classes called prerequisites before they can take more advanced classes in their field of study. For example, before taking more advanced mathematics, students must complete beginning calculus and statistics. Because students can take these prerequisites at community colleges, many choose to complete their first 2 years there. Then they can study the last 2 years at a four-year college to complete their degree. This is cheaper than studying all 4 years at a more costly college. Over half of all community colleges serve rural areas in the U.S. Some offer training related to the economies of the areas they serve. For example, Northern California is the largest wine-producing area in the U.S., and students can study winemaking at Napa Valley College, a community college in the area. In a discussion on the Community College Voice podcast, Dr. Joe Schaefer of Laramie County Community College in Wyoming notes that, for rural communities, these schools are especially important centers of activity. Martha Parham works for the AACC. She said that community colleges are becoming known as a place to receive a quality education.
You know, I think in the past, community colleges have been known to be for people that maybe, you know, aren't serious about education or, you know, don't know what they want to do. And that's just not the case anymore. In many cases, they offer programs that they're the only ones that offer the program.
A small but increasing number of community colleges are now offering bachelor's degrees, which take 4 years to complete. Compared with four-year colleges, the student population at community colleges tends to be older. The average age is 27, and 36% of students are between 22 and 39 years old. At large research universities, graduate assistants often teach lower-level classes, while professors center on research. But at community colleges, professors themselves teach the classes. While teaching is the main job of professors at community colleges, professors sometimes work with students on research projects. This year, a team at Front Range Community College in Colorado developed the first model of a machine that uses a new method of cleaning oil spills in water. And Bergen Community College in New Jersey developed a recycling container that can identify, accept, or reject objects to make sure they can be recycled. Some schools are known for special programs that deliver advanced technical training. Two community colleges in South Carolina offer the BMW Scholars Program, where students can study advanced automotive training on BMW automobiles and work 20 hours per week at a local BMW factory. Martha Parham says large technology firms such as Google, Amazon, and Dell are also partnering with community colleges to develop programs that train students to work in information technology.
And so you're looking at these giants in the tech world are turning to community colleges to provide curriculum and to really help students that are looking to join that tech community to develop those programs that lead to jobs that they can do from anywhere in the world.
On average, more than 80,000 international students have attended community college each year during the last 10 years in the U.S. The number of students decreased by almost 25% during the COVID-19 pandemic. In the 2020-2021 academic year, the five countries with the most international students at community colleges were China, Vietnam, South Korea, Japan, and Brazil. Many important English teaching methods are also developed and tested at community colleges. Students in these programs can improve their English enough to start at community colleges before moving to four-year colleges or graduate studies. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Faith Perlow.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. We're joined on the program now by Andrew Smith. You just heard Andrew's story about community colleges in the U.S. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Dan. I'm glad to be here.
So, Andrew, I enjoyed your story about community colleges, and I was happy to learn about the college in California that offers a winemaking program. What are some other special programs at community colleges in the U.S.?
In addition to the two-year associate's degrees, most community colleges offer a large number of non-credit courses where students can explore activities and hobbies. These might be things like taking music lessons, doing photography, or studying a foreign language. Many classes are offered at night, so people can go to them after the workday.
That is a good point, Andrew. It makes sense that people should be able to hold jobs at the same time they are studying. Since we have so many listeners that might be thinking about coming to school in the U.S., I'm wondering how international students can benefit from community colleges.
As the article mentions, many community colleges have intensive English programs, or IEPs. Students can improve their English at an IEP and then enroll in two-year degree programs, or go directly to a four-year university. Or, if their English is already at a high enough level, they can enroll directly into a degree program at a community college itself.
Thanks, Andrew. It is good to know how community colleges fit into the higher education picture here in the U.S. Andrew, thanks for telling our listeners about community colleges.
You're welcome, Dan. Glad to help.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about an expression or idiom involving an animal.
A monkey, to be exact. Monkeys are intelligent animals, and they often do funny things. So, the English language has some monkey expressions that describe a fun situation. For example, to monkey around means to do things that are not useful or serious. And if something is more fun than a barrel of monkeys, it is very fun. But what if you had to carry a monkey around with you every minute of every day, on your back? That may not be so fun. And that brings us to today's expression, to have a monkey on your back. If you have a monkey on your back, you have a problem that cannot be easily solved. And you possibly have had that problem for a long time. To have a monkey on your back can also mean to carry a great emotional weight. This weight comes from a bad decision, or perhaps a feeling that you have done something wrong. But the expression is used in more situations than that. It is often used to describe a serious problem, worry, or concern that makes life difficult or unpleasant. Sometimes we use this idiom to describe a situation that is not our fault. It could be a hardship or condition from which we suffer. Here are some examples. A man grew up in extreme poverty. For a time, it was a monkey on his back. But getting a good education was the first step to getting the monkey off his back. If a woman has a gambling, alcohol, or drug addiction, we could say she has a monkey on her back. It could last for many years, or even a lifetime. However, if she could solve or end the problem, we could say she finally got the monkey off her back. There is another expression that also means having a monkey on your back. That expression is a millstone around someone's neck. A millstone is a very large, heavy stone used for grinding things, such as grain or corn. It crushes things easily. So we also use the word millstone to describe a serious responsibility, problem, or concern. For example, student debt is a millstone for many young people. We could also say the debt is a millstone around their necks, or a monkey on their backs. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Broadcast. I'll be back in a moment. But first, my colleague Ashley Thompson is here with some more information about a new program from Learning English.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Thank you, Ashley. And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to keep learning English with stories from around the world. I'm Dan Friedel.